Yeah. Y'all know what time it is. It's time for the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. And today, it is Monday, the some shit. Damn. It's Monday the 11th. It's about 6:40 in the morning. Can't sleep. What else is new? So we're going to get this mailbag going, not now, but right now. Shout out to everybody that sent in questions. For those that don't know how this works, I put out a tweet and an IG video and other social media stuff saying, yo, send in them questions and I'll answer them on the pod. Things that we are well-versed to talk about. Basketball. Things that we will talk about and act like we're an expert. Everything under the sun. If you have a question, ask it because I'll answer it and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. But even before we get into all that, I've told you guys, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I appreciate every listen, retweet, share, follow. But what I really need is y'all to tell a friend. Like, if you're fucking with what's happening over at the Shaw's Law Podcast, or if you just fuck with me off the strength of, it's me, come on, you know how cuz do. Like, tell a friend, share it with a friend. Actually, drop the link to a friend. That's the real one. Like, when you hit the text message, not the, like, the social media share be getting it done, but, like, the real one is the one-to-one interaction where you throw that joint in your group chat, or you got a mans that loves basketball and superheroes and nerd shit like I do, and you send them the joint, like the personal joint with the little message attached. Oh, yo, this is my man's podcast. He really be giving it up. He's that nigga. You should really be listening. Those are the ones, because like on social media, like somebody might breeze by it. But if I text you personally, like, you know, oh, nah, they really fuck with this. I got to check it out. And on top of that, I'm not at some crazy level where I'm unapproachable or you can't get through to me. Yo, when y'all text, tweet me, IG, like, however y'all communicate with me, you get a response. Sometimes it's not on the pod. Sometimes it's just, yo, right in the text thread. But, like, if you want to talk to Rob or get your shit to Rob, it's doable. And I haven't reached a point where like something's gonna get lost in the sauce where damn, there was a million mentions, I just didn't see it, or there were too many texts or email. Nah, I'm pretty regular, man. Like, y'all could talk to the guy if you want expert opinion that might not be expert, but you know it's gonna be fun, genuine, and really from the heart. Like, this is where you need to be. So, once again, I appreciate every listen, but tell a friend to tell a friend that they need to be listening to Harry Potter. And with that said, let's dive into the mailbag. Oh, they hit me with some baseball right off the rippity McRip rip. You know me, trying to expand my horizons, but just a little bit because it's still baseball. Your take on Aaron Judge turning down the offer. So my initial thought was, damn, some wildin'. But it's baseball, and those numbers are always going to be crazy. And then he's apparently a West Coast kid, and maybe that makes all the difference. Like, he wants to be on the West Coast. Now, I don't know a ton about baseball, but I feel like, and this might just be my New York bias coming through, being a Yankee is probably similar to being like a Laker or a Celtic in basketball. So I do think it's a little weird that he's not dying to finish his career there. And maybe he is, and the numbers just aren't numbering correctly for him. But that's sort of my take on Aaron Judge overall. Like, it's weird. Does Judge stay or walk away next year? I wouldn't be surprised if he's still a Yankee next year. That's sort of where my brain is. So those were our two baseball mailbag questions. Let me think. Oh, we finished our March Madness bracket. Obviously, Kansas won. I gave my thoughts on March Madness as a whole on the From the Stands podcast with Sean Stansfield. Shout out to my guys, Ian and Sean. Me and Sean were really rapping on that. Like, you need to check out the latest From the Stands podcast featuring your boy. We kind of just get into almost all things sports. And that's where I gave most of my March Madness takes. And I won't rehash them here because I'm under the narcissistic assumption that if I'm on the pod, you guys are listening. So let's hope that's true. Really quick. Big shout out to Jose Rivera. He won our March Madness tournament pool, the one I did for free on ESPN. He fake won it. Like, it's me. I really won, but I can't give myself the prize. So my boy Jose won. He got $25 and a Shaw's Law keychain. I do still have Shaw's Law keychains. I normally sell them for $7. At this point, if you want one, just reach out. And I'll probably just get you one just off the strength of I know you're listening and I'm not really here to turn a profit. I just want, like, I wanted to make some merch and it's a cool way for you guys to show support for the pod. And on top of that, like, I love keychains, so I thought this would be a great first piece of merch. So I do have some of those left. It'd be really fly to see some of y'all walking around with Shaw's Law keychains. I'm not even going to hold you. But big shout out to Jose for winning. Somebody asked me my thoughts on this Adam Schefter stuff. I don't even like calling it the Adam Schefter stuff. It's the Dwayne Haskins situation. Dwayne Haskins, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, recently passed away. In an accident involving him and a motor vehicle. And Adam Schefter grabbed his phone and just put out a tweet that was super insensitive. Like, if this was one of my loved ones, I would never want them described in this manner. And I'm not even going to paraphrase. I'm actually going to pull up the real tweet. Hopefully I still got it. That is baseball stuff. Where is this Adam Schefter tweet? Because I can't let him slide on this just off the strength of how corny it was. Here it is. Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio State. Perfect. Standout at Ohio State. Before struggling to catch on with Washington and Pittsburgh in the NFL. Trash. Died this morning when he got hit by a car in South Florida, per his agent, Cedric Saunders. Haskins would have turned 25 years on May 3rd. 25 years old. I'll break this thing down one more time. Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio State. That's fine. But even I don't, like, because you have to give some context of who he was, why an NFL reporter is tweeting about it. So it could have been Steelers NFL quarterback Dwayne Haskins, former Ohio State standout, has passed away. Haskins is lived on by his brother, sister's mother, son's daughter. Haskins, a great son, father, uncle, nephew, cousin, friend. All those things are acceptable. Don't ever, 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 ever fix your motherfucking face to talk about somebody's professional struggles in a tweet about them passing. In particular, when it's not a major part of their story. Like, when Kobe passed, if somebody would have brought up the Colorado rape allegations, it would have been in poor taste because Kobe just passed. But that is a major part of the Kobe story when you talk about it overall. This, He didn't have any legal troubles or anything major. He was a first round pick who hadn't caught traction yet. That doesn't need to be said, especially because you're one of the biggest NFL reporters, and this is how a lot of people are going to get this Dwayne Haskins news. A lot of people are going to get their Dwayne Haskins passing news from Adam Schefter. So for him to not just throw love, light, and positivity on the passing of a young 24-year-old athlete, hella corny. Like, Adam Schefter, you get a Suck My Dick Award today. So that's that. Rest in peace to Dwayne Haskins. Wishing nothing but positivity and love for his friends, family, teammates, and loved ones. Our next thing. Some of these questions come from the homie Riley McInerney. You know, Young Money to the Death of Us. Riley forever holding it down and showing love. Who do I want to see in the finals? Suns-Nets would be... If it's Suns-Nets, I don't care how brokey McBroke-broke I am, me and Yosh on the scene at Barclays. I'll show you guys the StubHub, and you guys can grab tickets with us. But if it's Suns-Nets, because we all know Devin Booker's my guy, I'd love to see him and Chris Paul get a chance at a ring. Kevin Durant is the person I've most enjoyed ever watching play basketball. I've never enjoyed watching a human being play basketball more than I enjoy watching Kevin Durant. It's the combination of the size, the handle, the jump shot, even his off-court persona, because Kevin Durant is really like you and me, just 100 times better at basketball. Like, you say something greasy to KD, but Booker's sort of similar. Like, I like those guys that, you said something greasy to me from the stands? Well, I'm giving it up foul. Like, Booker, like, there's the clip of Booker bringing it up the court and a fan says something. He's like, yo, shut up, pussy. I like that type of shit. Like, stop talking to me like I'm not a real nigga. Fuck out of here. You say something greasy about Durant on the internet, he's on your ass, Mr. Postman. Like, I like that kind of stuff. It makes them more relatable, but also these are regular people that just happen to have top 1% talent in the greatest game in the world. So a Nets-Phoenix Finals, I'd be heartbroken that somebody had to lose it, but I'd be really happy that certain people walked away with championships, like a KD non-Golden State ring is super dope. Actually, well, hopefully I come back to this point later because I have somebody asked a question that sort of ties into that. But like Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, and Cam Johnson all getting rings. Like, Phoenix Brooklyn is my pipe dream. I don't think it's realistic. I just think the path for the Nets is too much, having to come from the play-in tournament to make it to the finals is a lot. I mean, they have two absolute murderers. Like, actually, murderer isn't classy enough for these dudes. These dudes are another level. Are they serial killer? Assassins. Two certified assassins in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. There's news that Ben Simmons might be available after the play-in tournament. Assuming the Nets win their games in the play-in tournament, they are the 7th seed. And the play-in tournament starts Tuesday. It's a new wrinkle for the NBA. This is year 2 of it. So teams 7 through 10 essentially play to make the playoffs. So if you're the 10th seed, you have to win 2 games back-to-back. But you could actually fight your way into the playoffs. It's a cool new wrinkle. I like it. It kills some of the dead time between the playoffs and the regular season, on top of you're getting more high-level basketball. The play-in tournament does bring me to the Lakers. We shouldn't have to mention these dudes until the NBA draft or the offseason, because this is the NBA now. We are in a league where two-thirds of the league now makes some variation of the playoffs. Yes, 20 out of 30 teams make either the playoffs or the play-in tournament. The Lakers were not able to even do that, so why do we have to talk about them? Oh shit, this my pod. I don't gotta say shit about them, so I won't until they do something of relevance. So, that's that. Riley also wanted to know what playoff matchups I'm looking most forward to. We have a possibility for Nets Sixers in the second round. You know how fly that would be? But that, forget Nets Sixers. Philly Toronto might be a goodie. Like, it looks like James Harden has lost his magic. And then if I lost my magic, the last group of people I want to see is Toronto, probably. Fred VanVleet gives it up on defense. Pascal Siakam, a very switchable defender. But the real issue is it's them goddamn two wings. Scottie Barnes and OG Anunoby aren't who I want to see when I come off a pick and roll. I don't want to run a pick and roll in order to get Scottie Barnes off me only to be greeted by OG Anunoby. Or I don't want... Like, it's just not a fun-sounding situation, especially with Harden struggling. It looks like he has lost some percentage of his superpowers, and until them bitches come back, Philly's in trouble, particularly because Nick Nurse and his scheme, this is something that Sean brought up on his pod, Sean Stansfield, they be in Embiid's fucking shorts. Embiid is in the fifth chamber of hell every time he has to go see T-Dot. So that is a good, fun matchup we should all be looking out for. In the West, let's just be happy Minnesota's in the play-in. And hopefully they get to the real playoffs. Out of the four teams, I like them. I probably like the Clippers a little bit more with Paul George back, but I like the T-Wolves over New Orleans and over San Antonio. So hopefully they make it into the real one. 3-6 Denver Golden State, certified goody. Like, certified goody. And I cannot wait for that. I'm also excited for Luka to have a chance to make it out the first round. The Mavs versus Utah. Y'all know how I feel. Get the Utah Jazz all the way up out of here. Like, them niggas can go. See ya. All right, next question. What are my thoughts on an in-season tournament and how it would work? So the real question is, how do you incentivize NBA players to care about this? My initial thought is, after a while, they'll start to care simply because it'll be ingrained as tradition, but we need to get there. The idea of, let's see, how do you word it? The idea of in 20 years that there will be 20 years worth of stats accumulated in a midseason tournament, and then that can go towards your Hall of Fame resume. Hey, he's been first team All NBA X amount of times, but he's also been first team midseason tournament 3 times, as well as he's in the top 3 all time in midseason tournament scoring. Like, those things matter. I think you should also be playing around with the rules for this tournament. this is a prime candidate for an Elam ending. For those that don't know what the Elam ending is, it was made by Nick Elam. He's some sort of college professor who loves basketball and hates that in the last 5 minutes or so of close games, it gets bogged down to fouls and foul shooting. So he came up with basically a target score. So they use it in the $2 million basketball tournament. After, when there's less than 5 minutes left in the game, the clock goes off and you play to a target score, and it's, I believe it's 9 points from what the team leading has. So if the leading team, when the clock goes off, if the team leading has 65 points, they need to score 74. So 9 more points. But so that's 9 more points for the team leading, but the team that's trailing, they need to also get to 74 to win from whatever they have. So if it was 64, 65 when the clock went off, the team that had 65 needs 9 points. The team that was losing needs 10 points. So what this does is it guarantees that every game ends on a made shot. Sometimes it's a free throw and that's trash. But other times, oftentimes, it's a high-pressure shot of, hey, it's 72-71 and we need to get to 74. And we have 71, we have the ball. We're shooting a three, because if we score a two and then they score, that's game over. We may never get the ball back. So we got to get this clean look from three and try and end these niggas right here where they stand. And that's tough. And I think that will make for exciting moments. The NBA also uses this in the All-Star game, but I think that is something that should be done with the mid-season tournament. I think they should just be experimenting and trying new things. Incentives has got to be some sort of cash, but also make it worth something for the teams. You are, I don't want to say auto-eligible for the playoffs. That seems like too big of a prize, but maybe it's worth 3 regular season wins winning the tournament, or you're guaranteed, if you don't make the play-in tournament, you're guaranteed a spot in that. Maybe it's a guaranteed spot in the play-in. I don't, like, there needs to be something to incentivize it besides cash, but there also, maybe you put an age limit on it. Hey, teams can only send players under the age of 26. So, like, some of your G League guys get in and get big-time NBA reps in front of the scouts and the TV deal that I'm assuming would have to be a part of this. Like, these games have to be televised. Maybe you do some NCAA tournament-type stuff, like that initial Thursday-Friday where games come on at noon, and you try and just own a block of time that nobody else owns with relatively high-level NBA basketball, even if you put in an age restriction. Those are my thoughts off the top of my head. I could think about this more, and maybe I come up with more. Biggest fall from grace happening in real time, Russ or James Harden? It's clearly Russ, but like, this Harden thing is bad, as I mentioned. He's just not... he's not hooping at the level that he used to. Russ's fall from grace is he just might not be a player that you can actually win real basketball games with. They put him with LeBron James, and he still wasn't able to be successful. Now, LeBron's not the easiest person to play with, but he's also been a walking playoff berth since his second year in the league, with few exceptions. So I don't know that you can play high level winning basketball with Russell Westbrook at this point. That came from the homie George. This is from my boy Mike Becker. How do you deal with basketball players, with people who think basketball players on average were better in the 90s than they are today? It's nasty out there, if that's what you believe. This is the most skilled time for NBA basketball that we have ever seen. The guys are bigger, faster, stronger. They shoot it better. The 90s was a more physical brand of basketball. Like, if I want, like, when we're playing in leagues, I wish they'd let us play 90s style basketball, like, where you could be physical and reach and, like, dudes had to play through stuff. But overall, the basketball product is so much better right now. And there are definitely players in the old era who would have thrived in today's game. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are also, it's very tough to take a role player from the 90s and have them be successful in today's game. Like, they, I don't know that a role player from the 90s comes into today's NBA and instantly gets better. He's like, he goes from a role player to an all-star. But I think you could take a lot of role players from this generation, drop them in the 90s, and they are significant impact players. And the second part to Mike's question is, he's seen people talk about Giannis saying, well, he can't shoot well enough. And Mike makes this brilliant point that, yes, Giannis is a below average shooter by today's standards. Back then, in that era, nobody was really, like, there were three-point specialists, but nobody took the three ball as serious. You could definitely get away with being a much worse shooter. Like, Giannis is going to do his thing in any era, and he's probably going to be even better in the 90s because the way shooting just matters so much less during that time period. This one comes from my boy Adam Williams, and this is a really fun one. What is my favorite NBA season? And I don't know if I have a favorite NBA season as a whole, but my favorite NBA finals is 2011 Mavs versus Heat. It's Dirk Nowitzki being in the zone so locked in that I thought he would never miss again. Like, every time Dirk and Jason Terry shot the ball during that series, I assumed it was going in. Not like, damn, they're such good shooters. Just, they were just so into the zone. It's heel LeBron coming off of, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Him and Dwayne Wade can't quite figure out who the alpha is and how to run stuff, which is a little confusing to me. Like, you had 82 games of the regular season and the playoffs to work that stuff out. Not nearly as much pressure, but I've worked through things with teammates in far less games than 82 for us to figure out the hierarchy and the pecking order of a team. So I do think that them not being able to figure that out says a little bit of something about their egos and them just believing that even without knowing how to do it, they could win. And they were damn close. That series went six games. So that is definitely my favorite NBA finals. And so the point I wanted to make earlier about Kevin Durant is he has championships. He has them in Golden State. But, like, some people feel like they're not, they don't hold as much weight as other championships because how he went to Golden State, they were already a championship team. He joined the league's only unanimous MVP ever. So I get that. And then not all championships are created equal because this Dirk 2011 title, like, that shit got away two fucking tons. Like, Bill Simmons weighs MVPs sometimes. Like, oh, this was a gargantuan MVP. If we were doing that with championships, I don't know that there's many that weigh more than Dirk's 2011. Like, 2011, As a matter of fact, y'all know what the fuck 2011 was. 2011 was Dirk Nowitzki's full on, I'm pulling my pants down and slapping my dick on the NBA table moment. It wasn't his 08 MVP. It was this, where he took it to LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, and the city of Miami as a whole. Son hung his dick out there for the whole world to see. And I don't know that in my lifetime I've seen a championship that weighs more. Honorable mention has got to be 2016 LeBron for Cleveland. And that's versus like a dope Golden State team. Like, I get it, but I think for me, that Dirk performance with, like, it's versus LeBron, multiple All-Stars, and it's a good cast of guys around Dirk, but, like, it's Dirk, and then, first of all, Dirk's not even the, if you're picking the players in that series, Dirk's not even the first pick. Like, it's clearly LeBron, and then it's probably Dirk, but you could make a case for D-Wade, and then, so let's say LeBron's the first pick, Dirk's the second pick, then it's Wade, Bosh, and then maybe you get to another Mav. Like, Tyson Chandler was really good, like, especially from a rim-protecting standpoint. He was definitely a defensive anchor. Jason Kidd is still a basketball savant at the time, or I guess you're just, if you're a savant, you're a savant. Like, this dude is a basketball genius. But I don't know, like, that's just, like, the most impressive series for me. That's my opinion. What is it for you guys? I assume a lot of my Bron fans are going to go 2016. Those are the two for me that are probably in the running. That Warriors first run was cool, but it's really how Dirk was. Like, he was really like that. So that is the basketball stuff. George sent a Black Star is reunited. They're going to drop an album May 3rd after 24 years. I'm excited to hear it. Like, I just want to hear what Quali got to say. Like, I just need to know what Talib has to say in 2022. And then lastly, Riley asked me, what video game do I replay? So I replay Pokemon games. I normally get like an itch to play one every year or so. I haven't had to replay anything recently because they've been coming out with new games once a year. So that's kind of fly. Excuse me. Also, KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, was remastered for Switch. That is the best video game I think I've ever played, along with, like, Mass Effect, and there's a couple other ones that I love, but this is a Star Wars RPG. They're actually remastering it. Not remastering it. They're remaking it for the PlayStation 5 in more of an action RPG mold. I'm super duper excited for that, even though I don't have a PS5. Brokey problems. But KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, it's out on the Switch for like $15 right now. If you haven't played it, it's aged really well. Graphically, it hasn't aged great, but like from a storyline perspective, this is one of the best Star Wars stories ever told, and it's easily my favorite video game of all time. I'll be back later this week. I'm assuming twice this week to do NBA awards as well as playoff preview stuff. And it is spring break for me. So, you know, the guys and I are going to go see Sonic 2. And I'm sure they're going to want to get in front of the microphone and talk their shit. So more than likely, it is a 3-pod week. This has been the Shaw's Law Podcast, and like that, We out.